Would you like to create and enjoy deeper, more meaningful relationships within your family? Welcome to Divine Parenting with Julie Hatch. Julie is an author, speaker, and family mentor and advocate who loves to help create more connection for parents and their children. She understands the woven tapestry of personalities that each unique family is made of and helps parents in creating happy, healthy, and harmonious homes. To connect with Julie, visit calendly.com/Julie-connector. And now, here's your host, Julie Hatch.
Welcome. Very happy to be here and to be sharing about support for single parents. Before I get started, I just would like to invite you to call into our show 15 minutes past noon, so 12:15. I will open the lines. You can call in at area code 657-383-0553. Be sure and press 1, and that will connect you to me. This is such an important topic today. I know that there are so many single parents, and I would like to begin by addressing those of you who have just filed for a divorce. There's some things that I want to share that might be able to help you through this process, especially as it gets into child custody. That can be a little bit sticky, a little bit difficult to navigate through. When my ex-husband and I, when we decided to divorce and we filed our papers, we met with an attorney and we drew up the papers together. And one of the things that we agreed upon was that we would not pay child support to either parent. We had joint custody, and we decided that whoever had the children would take care of the needs that come up with those children during the time that they are with us, that whoever the children were with, that parent would cover whatever costs or fees come up. So if there were school fees, the parent that had the children during that time would be responsible for those fees. The parent who has a child through the summer would be responsible for airfare fees. We decided to kind of just cut it right down the line and take the kids out of the picture completely. We had so many friends who were using their children as pawns and trying to punish the other parent for whatever wrongdoing they did, for whatever injustice there was, and make that parent pay child support. It was the energy behind it. And I don't want to, let me just preface this by saying this is not meant to make any parent feel badly if this is not the route they choose. I mean, if you are a parent and you have worked out, you know, child support arrangements, there's nothing wrong with that, and there is a need for that. But my point in sharing this is to maybe open your minds to consider some different things, because divorce it's not this cookie cutter thing. I think it really is specific to the family and to the couple. But when I was getting divorced, I was really under this impression that divorce was nasty and horrible and ugly, and yes, there are some ramifications definitely that stem from divorce, but I just want to tell you that one of the best decisions I'm so glad that my ex-husband and I made is that we decided not to hold each other accountable for the mistakes. We decided that that wasn't each other's business anymore now that we were getting a divorce, and that it really came down to the children and what was best for the children. I could have said, this is your fault. You know, X, Y, and Z happened to create the divorce. But I would like to propose that often the divorce, it takes two. It takes two. And even if, let's say, one spouse had an affair, or, you know, maybe there's a something else, money issues or something like that, that oftentimes it usually goes both ways. There's usually something that created that, I don't want to say created, there's something that was usually happening in the marriage or not happening in the marriage that may have been underneath that affair. So in other words, what I'm proposing is that when there is an affair involved, that usually there's something deeper underneath that I think it's a result. It's not a cause. So this is just something that I want to maybe put out there, maybe for you to consider and think about. You don't have to agree with my point of view on this. And like I said, there's no judgment with whatever you decide to do. This isn't about guilting. This is just about opening your mind to maybe consider something that you haven't considered before and really making it a point to focus on the children, because it really is the children that suffer. Yes, you know, the spouses, you know, when we go through divorce, it's painful. In many ways, it feels like a death. But let's not forget our children in this picture, because they are the ones who, I think, you know, struggle. They struggle with divorce. And as adults, we have the tools, we have support in place to help us navigate through that. But for kids, it's often harder. They lack the development, even in their brains, to reason and rationalize and to understand what divorce is and why it's happening. The first thing that I want to tell you is to be sure and sit down with your children. Even though they may act like this isn't any big deal, children have a hard time articulating how they feel sometimes. They have a very limited vocabulary. And so it's really important to sit down with them and let them know that the divorce is not their fault. That is one of the most important things that you can help your children through, is helping them understand that the divorce is not their fault. Because children tend to, because they lack experience, sometimes they adopt beliefs on half-truths and misperceptions and misunderstandings. So please make sure that your children know unequivocally that this is, you know, it's not their fault, and help them understand what to expect. You know, have that conversation with them. Once you decide what the visitations and custody looks like, sit down and talk to them about it without bad-mouthing your ex. You may feel terrible, horrible, heavy feelings regarding your ex. It is so important not to impose those feelings upon your children. What they're going through is hard enough, so there needs to be a really healthy boundary placed there. Do not speak ill will about your ex, because that ex is their parent. And whether it's a deadbeat dad or a deadbeat mom or there was an affair or whatever that was, understand this is the first male and female authority figures in this children's life. Even if this child was brought into this world and grandparents watched them, you were the ones as parents to bring them into the world. So you are the first, you know, parent authority figures for these kids. And so that's the way they look at their parents. They don't see them through the same filter that you sometimes see them in. And if they do, then that's, you know, their prerogative. I mean, they're entitled to feel how they feel. But just make sure that you're not speaking ill will of your ex in front of them. I guarantee you, if you do that, your children will grow up, and one day they'll realize that everybody's imperfect, and they may hold you accountable, maybe not right away, but in their adult years, that can come back on you. So don't do it. And I'm, you know, just speaking from experience here, don't do it. The other thing that I want to share with you is the very first thing that you want to do is you want to make sure you build a community. Well, I'd say this is the first thing after you talk to your kids. Build a community. Build a community of people that can support you, that can watch your kids for you if something comes up. Make sure that you have your support in place. When I was going through my divorce, I had no family in the state of Nevada, none. And I had very few friends because when I was going through my divorce, I had two young kids, and I don't know, they were just about, I think, age 4 or 5, maybe 5 or 6, somewhere in there. But they were little, and it was very hard. I was a stay-at-home mom, and I got thrown into the working world very quickly. I just barely graduated from beauty school by the time we filed for divorce, and was only making $9 an hour. And so here's what I want to share with you. It's so important to build up that community. If you don't know anyone that can take turns watching your kids or anything like that, I would suggest that you go online and seek out some parenting support groups. There's 3, and I listed them in the episode description in case you don't write these down. But these 3, there's parentswithoutpartners.org, there's singleandparenting.org, there's assistanceforsingleparents.org. There are so, so many. And this is really a great way to build a community with those who are going through the same thing or have gone through the same thing as you. And also reach out to people if you attend a church. That's one way that you can connect with some other people and start building your community. But it's so important. I think that that's an invaluable tool, is to be able to establish and build your own community of people that can support you, people that you can go to when you're feeling down, people that can maybe watch your kids so that you can run an errand or take care of something that needs taking care of. So, so, so important. So make sure that you have that community in place. The next thing that I would suggest is to put together an emergency list of contact numbers, names and contact numbers, and addresses. Have that in place. You never know when an emergency is going to strike. You have no one has any clue. But you want to make sure that not only do you have this list put together for emergencies, but that your children, if they're old enough to know how to use a phone, that they can also have access to this information. Teach them what they need to do if there's an emergency, and you be prepared as a parent in case there's an emergency. One thing that I think really helped me survive through my single parenting years is I took time to take care of my needs. I had my support in place. My family wasn't out there, but I had friends, and they had my back, and they helped me considerably. I think it just goes right back to having that community in place. But, you know, a lot of times, one thing that was so scary for me is here I am switching roles. I went from being that full-time stay-at-home mom to being ushered out into the working world, learning how to pay bills, because my husband always took care of that. learning how to climb the corporate ladder. It felt very competitive, and I had no idea I'm like, wow, this is not simple. In fact, I grew to have an appreciation for the role that my ex-husband played in my marriage. Even though I was angry at him, even though there were things that were hurtful in our relationship, over time, I grew to appreciate that part that he did contribute to our family. And I think what's really been helpful too, I mean, we went through probably, I think there's a honeymoon phase when you take on your kids and the divorce has just happened. There's a little bit of a honeymoon phase. Everyone's still trying to get situated and adjust, and everyone's kind of on good behavior because it hasn't really hit yet. It hasn't really sunk in. There's still a lot of change that you're trying to adjust to. So there might be a little bit of a honeymoon phase, and then there's a testing phase. This is really important for you to know, because those parents who understand this can prepare and avoid so many fallouts down the line with your children. So one thing that you want to do is you want to, when you're sitting down and you're talking with your kids, and maybe do this in a different conversation because you don't want to overwhelm them with too much, but when you get a moment after the dust has settled a little bit, you may want to have a little meeting with them and talk about the differences that they can expect. So you can say something along the lines as, when we were living together, we all shared the same rules. There was the same rules because we're all living together. But now that we are in separate homes, I want you to understand that there may be some rules that are different when you go to stay with Daddy and when you go to stay with Mommy. And then ask them to come up with some things that would help support your family, ways to help support the family and help the home run smoothly. See if you can get some of their ideas, because children need to feel like they have a say. And sometimes just inviting them to share their ideas with you will help them feel like they have some sense of control, some sense of safety or security. Children need that. They need to feel safe. And it's our responsibility as parents to help them feel safe and secure. Routines are extremely important. Sometimes parents overcompensate. They try to overcompensate for the divorce. They feel guilty. They feel badly. They see that their children are hurting, and so they will do nice things for their children, like, oh, you can stay up past your regular bedtime, or sure, or they'll buy them gifts, lots of gifts. Here's a gift, and these aren't things that are earned. These are things that are just given. And so you want to make sure that you're not falling into that trap of overcompensating for the divorce. It's important for children to still maintain a sense of structure and routine, especially during change. It helps to anchor them. And there will be probably a lot less acting out if you can establish that. So try to continue a routine with them. Be consistent in that. Don't just willy-nilly it and, you're having a bad day. Let me fix that for you. Here's the thing is that, as hard and as painful as divorce is, it presents some teaching opportunities. And one of the things that you can do is to help your children learn how to use their words. This is an important time for them to especially learn this lesson, so that if they're feeling troubled or they're struggling, they can use their words and they can tell you. If you have a little one that hasn't learned words, maybe they're toddlers or infants, you can expect that there may be times when they act out, and that acting out quite often is the way that they express when something is upsetting them. So you definitely want to just be aware of that. And then I would suggest that you make sure. So One thing that might be helpful is children need to have, they need to feel like they didn't get lost in the shuffle of a divorce. So scheduling, carving out time for each child one-on-one, especially during this time of change in their lives, is another important component. You want to make sure that you have carved out, even if it's just 30 minutes or an hour, or, you know, you don't even have to do anything special, but just sitting down, maybe reading a book together, maybe just having a talk or walking to the park or something like that, but just help them know that you are aware of them. Now, for the parent, oh, my heart goes out to you guys because I know, I truly understand what it feels like to feel like you've lost your friend, your dreams. You might feel like your dreams shattered into a billion pieces, and you wonder why this hasn't killed you. I know I did. I know I felt that way. There were so many nights that I cried myself to sleep. It was so hard sometimes. And especially as it got into mediation and court issues, it was very, very, very hard. You as a parent, please, 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 if I have any advice to give you, it is to forgive yourself. Forgive yourself. The next thing is forgive your ex. How do you do that? Well, by realizing that nobody's perfect and everybody has their story and nothing excuses what they do or what you do. Restitution is an important part of forgiveness and an apology, and I get that. But that anger, that resentment that you hold on to doesn't hurt your ex. It hurts you. It hurts you. And so if you can't forgive them for them, like if you can't do that for them, for your ex, do it for yourself. Take yourself off the grudge hook. That's actually advice from my dear friend, Bill Barney. But he was an expert guest on my radio show, All in Talk Radio. And he had that to share about it. And it really gave me a visual. It's like, wow, that's a pretty vivid visual for me. I can imagine taking myself off of that grudge hook and offering forgiveness. Offer compassion for yourself. If you had someone that was struggling and came to you, the compassion that you would naturally extend to them, extend that to yourself. Extend that to yourself. You know, it is hard. And sometimes we can't see the forest for the tree through the trees. Sometimes we wonder if there's ever going to be a light at the end of the tunnel. I think one of the biggest fears that divorcees have is, will I ever find love? Will I ever feel love in my life? So what I want to say is, because there's going to come a time when you might date or you might court people, what I want to say is take it slow. Take it slowly. One of the things that really came to my mind recently, and I shared it on my Facebook timeline, is if I had to go back and give myself advice during the time that I started courting, it would be don't date until you don't worry about what other people think of you. And once you have reached that point and you have become secure enough in yourself to love yourself, what's wonderful is that that becomes a gift, a true gift for others. There's no strings attached. There's no expectations. You know you can regenerate love. You know you can give yourself the love that you seek and fill up your own holes. You attract what you are. You attract what you are. If you feel like you're broken, guess what you're going to attract? Okay, like attracts like. Why? Because that's what we can relate to. That's what we understand. And so we seek for others who can understand and relate to us. So if you are attracting people into your life that aren't desirable, it's time to look at yourself. And it's time maybe to give yourself permission to heal those parts of yourself that feel wounded and to learn how to love and accept yourself in spite of any mistakes or in spite of the course that your life took. It's time for you to love yourself. Learn how to love yourself and accept yourself fully and wholly and completely. It's one of the greatest gifts that not only do we give others, but our children. Our children will benefit. Did you know that studies now have proven that those wounds that we carry with us that we do not take the time to heal are actually carried on through DNA? There was a study done that involved mice, and I found that this was really interesting. So there was some mice that were electrocuted, and while they were, shocked or electrocuted, the scientists sprayed some cherry blossom spray while they were being shocked. And every time they smelled the cherry blossom, even though they weren't being shocked, just the scent of it, made them have anxiety. It caused anxiety in these mice. Well, these mice had pups. And guess what they found out? That even though these pups had never been shocked, they also exhibited anxiety whenever they smelled that scent. They too also experienced anxiety, and it carried on like that. So understand that the most responsible thing that we can do as parents for our children is to heal our wounded parts. It's to heal ourselves. As we get stronger, our children get stronger because it gives them permission to do the same. And we are modeling the behavior of being able to self-govern, to discipline ourselves, and to continually strive to be the best that we can be. That's the example we're giving our children, and they learn by example. So I just want to share that I know how difficult it is. My heart truly goes out to each of you who are single parents. Maybe there was a death. Maybe there was an affair. Maybe there was abandonment issues, whatever that is. Know that you're not alone. Know that this time in your life will make you stronger, can make you stronger, if you choose it to. If you choose to become stronger through this process, you can, and you will. I think that there are some things that, I don't want to call them perks or maybe not even advantages, but I do know that when I was going through divorce, after being a full-time stay-at-home mom, I actually felt guilty that at first I would be in tears saying goodbye to my kids as they'd go off to be with their dad, and then I got used to, you know, the visiting arrangements, and then there was a part of me that was like, wow, I can actually go and take care of an errand and not have an entourage with me. I can go and do things, and it was a little bit more simpler. I had never given myself time to take care of myself when I was a stay-at-home full-time mom. I just never did that. And so doing that after my divorce taught me how important that was to be able to do that, to give myself some time to be alone, to collect my thoughts, to really get in alignment with my own integrity, my higher self. Having that time was invaluable. And what I want to share with you is that, you know, divorce can be hard, but the more that you can work with your ex, or the more that you can build that community that can support you, it's going to really help you down the road. In referring to parents who are divorced, what I want to tell you is try your hardest to reach a point where you can parent, co-parent with your ex. The more civil you are, the more healing it is for the family. It's important for the kids to be able to see that. My ex-husband and I, we went through probably, after the little honeymoon phase, there was about a year, year and a half there where it was really ugly. Our communication with each other was really broken down. Our hurt was still talking louder than our thoughts, or maybe both. But our hurt and our pain kept showing up in conversations. And it took about a year and a half for us to realize how damaging that was, that we weren't getting anywhere. And our children really started to act out during that time. My son became a bully because he didn't know any other way to express himself. He was bullied, but part of the reason he turned around and bullied was also because he didn't know how to express his own pain about our divorce. So he took it out on other kids. And we didn't learn about it until after the fact, which is just, it breaks my heart to think about that. So try your hardest, you know. One thing that I would suggest is a very simple communication tool. So if you are feeling something, instead of using the word you, just own it. I feel blank, and what I really need and want is blank. Try something very basic like that. So see if you guys can get on common ground. Do your best to do that. I know sometimes it doesn't always work out that way, but it's worth an effort, if anything, for your children and for you, because really it's offering you a little bit more peace and harmony. I seriously think that contention is a tool of the devil, that he loves to stir the pot. And so when contention shows up, that's a red flag. Nothing gets resolved when there's contention. Nothing. So back away from it. Revisit it if you need to. You know, I can say after that year and a half that my ex and I were finally able to forge a friendship. And now we are friends for life. And our children have benefited from us being able to do things even as a family. You know, so I've included my husband in those activities. And there are times when my current husband was very gracious and understood how important this was for our kids. And, you know, he was supportive. He took that mentor role very well. But we did have those times, but not a whole bunch of them. But, you know, when there was graduation or special things that came up, birthdays, you know, their dad and I would get together and we would do things as a family. So if you can do that, it's important to remember that even though you're going through a divorce, the divorce is a separation in a marriage, not a family. So if you can look at it through that lens, that's going to help you. But anyway, you guys can do this. You can do it. It's hard. There's consequences from this, and we all know that. But we can also, we can create something from it that we want, or at least close to it, right? And the closer we can get to that dream, you know, it's like a new dream. Maybe the old dream felt like it shattered into a million pieces, but you can create a new one that's just you and your children. You can create that vision of what you want for your little family or your big family. And start a new slate. As you start courting, slowly introduce those people into your children's lives. Slowly. Take it slowly for your children's sake. That's really hard, because when chemistry's there, a lot of adults will act on the chemistry and then disregard the children. Make sure that you take that slowly for them. Make sure that your children are comfortable with the person that you're courting as well, that there aren't any red flags of any kind of abuse or anything like that. Really take your time. All right, guys, this is Julie Hatch with Divine Parenting with Julie Hatch. I'm happy that I was able to share with you some things that worked for me. Like I said, they may not work for you. There's no guilt. If, you know, like I said, if you choose a different path where you, you know, decide that you do want child support paid and things like that, that's your prerogative. I completely get it. You know, I don't want to say that my way was the only right way. I just want to share how it benefited us and why I share about that. If you have any questions or comments, you can actually reach out to me by going to julie.connector@gmail.com. Go ahead and just send me an email. I want to invite you to my parenting support groups. They are both on Facebook. There's one for parents of younger age children called Wholehearted Parenting for Kids. And then there's another one for parents of teenagers, and it's Wholehearted Parenting for Teens. So go ahead and check those out. One thing that I really love to do as a way to come up behind these families of parents who've been divorced and children who might be struggling with that is to do one-on-one sessions. I am a family mentor and advocate. I am a certified emotional health coach, and I would love to help you. If you have any questions about that, we can always do a free clarity call. These are no obligation. They're completely free. You can ask any questions that you have. If there's any issue that comes up that you feel like you need to work through that will help support you and your family, your children, by all means, don't hesitate to reach out to me. In fact, you can go directly to my online calendar and schedule a 20-minute clarity call with me. So just go to www.calendly, that's calendly.com/Julie-connector. And we can talk, and I would love to support you any way that I can. So until next time, in fact, I may as well share with you what we're doing next week because I am bringing on a special guest. Julie Brown is our guest expert next week. We're going to be talking about partnering up in parenting. This has to do with the benefits of having marriage meetings. So we're going to be talking about that. You'll want to join us at noon next Monday. And that's going to be right here on Divine Parenting with Julie Hatch. So until then, go love on your kids and go love yourself. Take that time to take care of yourself, parents. All right. Until next time, we'll see ya.